Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We're so thankful that you're taking some time today to listen. We pray that this week's message challenges you to press in deeper with your pursuit of Christ. Our mission at Vision Church is to go and make disciples. You can help us in this mission by rating this podcast and sharing it with the world via social media. We want to reach the lost by raising up the found. Thank you again for tuning in today and enjoy the message.
Good morning, Vision Church. Why don't you join me in a moment of prayer right now? Father, we come to you in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus. And Lord, in this uncertain day in which we live, we choose to worship you, we choose to trust you, and bless your mighty name. Father, it's one thing to worship you when everything is going great in our life, and it's a whole nother thing to worship you when we don't know what tomorrow holds. But right now, Lord, we choose to rejoice in this day that you have made. We will be glad in it. We will bless your wonderful name. God, you are faithful. You are holy. And if you never do another thing for us, you have already done more than enough for us to worship you all the days of our life. God, we worship you. We bless you. I pray, Lord, that you would touch every person that's been affected by this virus around the world. We pray for supernatural healing in their life. I pray that this disease, this virus, it would cease supernaturally, God, that it would come to a quick end by only your hand. I pray that you would give the doctors wisdom and, Lord, that you would protect your people. Lord, we trust you and we worship you. And today, as we lean into your word, may it come alive and transform us no matter where we are, all over the world and all over the city of Charlotte. God, we love you and we bless your wonderful name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hey, church, I want to take a second really quickly to welcome you in. As you can tell by looking around, we are not in our normal location at Metro School because for the very first time, we are worshiping and bringing the gospel from our first ever permanent campus, 1134 West Boulevard, Charlotte, North Carolina. We are standing in a miracle. Come on, somebody, and give God praise all over the place, wherever you are. God is amazing, and we are just honored to even have this space to be able to broadcast to you this morning. I want to take a second really quickly to encourage you, no matter where you're watching from, take a minute right now to leave a comment. We would love to hear from you, and we'll have a prayer team standing by to pray with you wherever you are. And also, please take a second to hit the share button at the bottom of this page, because you never know who might be impacted by the gospel just by you sharing this message on your feed. So I want to encourage you to do that. As we jump into this message today, all the glory and the honor and the praise belongs to Jesus Christ. We are not here to entertain you. We're here to bless his wonderful name. Really quickly, though, I have another announcement that I want to tell you. For those of you who've been following along with this campus, you know that last June in 2019, we finally closed on this building, our first permanent campus. And over the last few months, we've been working with the city of Charlotte for permitting and architecture designs. And I'm pleased to report to you that I've got really good news. On Friday afternoon, I got the call that our plans have been approved. We have the permits to begin construction on this building. Come on, somebody, and praise him one more time, because we're going to transform this space so that lives will be transformed in it. And I'm going to speak this vision over you. I'm going to speak it in faith, believing that in this building, we are going to see countless thousands of lives saved and changed, transformed by the gospel. We're going to see families restored, chains of addiction broken. We're going to see the captives set free and Jesus lifted high in this place. And what's going to happen here, I believe, is going to echo throughout our city and around the nations of the world, not for our glory, but for the glory of our Almighty God. I just believe it. So, really quickly, too, want to say thank you to all of you who have generously given to our Bold Move campaign to make this building possible. I want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I also want to let you know that that campaign is still open. That fund is still available online at visionchurch.com. If you would like to contribute, be a participant in giving there, you can still do that. And all of that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Obviously, this morning we are in an unusual circumstance and an uncertain time in our world. And really, the last few days, basically, life as we know it has just been turned upside down. But I just want to speak into your life that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. It breaks my heart that we had to cancel our physical meeting this Sunday, but I just want you to know that a lot of thought and prayer went into that. Our advisory board joined me on a conference call to make that decision, and really, the decision was based out of love and faith, not fear, for your protection and for the limitation of this virus so that it wouldn't spread. I just am praying and believing God for a quick and abrupt ending to this virus so we can be back together meeting again soon. But in the meantime, I want you to take care of yourself and use wisdom in alignment with your faith. If you have your Bible, turn with me today to Psalm chapter 91. The famous Psalm chapter 91 is going to be our text this morning, and I find that it's very appropriate and fitting. And I just believe that this is a word for right now. For those of you who've been at the church, you know we were in a series called Overdraft Protection. But sometimes in life, you just need to break from the script and speak what the Spirit is saying to His church. Psalm chapter 91, beginning in verse 1. I'm going to read this in the King James Version, so there's going to be some these and thous, but you'll be all right. You'll walk it off. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is our refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall the plague come nigh to thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. They shall bear you up with their hands. And if thou dash thy foot against the stone, you will not. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon, and thou shalt trample under their feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I want to pray one more time over you. Lord, we thank you so much for Psalm 91. And I pray that today we would not just go through the routine of this is just another message, another sermon. We've heard that before. But Lord, we lean in right now expecting that you are going to do something unique in our life today. You're going to grow us. There's something that you want to transform inside of us. No matter how long we've been a Christian, if it's been 30 years or 30 minutes, you want to transform us. You want to bring us from where we are to more and more the image of Christ. So Lord, do that today, and we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the next few moments today, I'm just going to take some points out of Psalm 91 that I believe God has put on my heart for this moment in this season in our life. The first thing that we must observe out of Psalm 91 is that this is not just a blanket promise to everybody in the universe that God will protect you and He will spare you from evil and He will save you. No, this is actually written to believers, to people who have repented of their sin. They have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ and His cross, and to them they received the promise of Psalm 91. In our world today, we hear people say all the time, well, everybody is God's child and God loves everybody. And the truth is that yes, God loves everyone. He loves all of humanity. But not everyone walking this planet is God's child. Scripture is very clear that all of us are God's creation, formed in His image and likeness. But the moment that we repent of our sin and believe in our heart that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and he died on the cross for us, in that moment, when we are born again, we become the children of God. And to those who are his children, this is their promise in Psalm 91. The first thing in the very first verse, he says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The first question I want to ask you today is, what are you dwelling in? Are you dwelling in fear, anxiety, uncertainty of what tomorrow may hold? Or are you dwelling in the promises of God? Because this is a word that if you will dwell in the secret place of the Almighty God, then you will receive his blessings in your life. How do we dwell with God? There's a few ways that Scripture describes how we as finite human beings can dwell in the presence of the infinite Almighty God. Now, this may sound basic to you, but it's vital that we all understand it. Number one, we dwell with God in that secret place through prayer. Prayer is a conversation between you and the Father. It is a conversation from your heart to his. Prayer is not you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to pray in the King James or kneel and squint. It's just a conversation between your heart and your heavenly Father. But in prayer, we are engaging with the presence of God. And there was a great price paid for us to be able to communicate with God. It's only through the cross and through Jesus Christ, a high price was paid to give us access to pray to our Heavenly Father. Prayer may not always change your circumstances, but prayer will always change your heart. And this is the first step, the first key to really dwelling in the presence of the Almighty God. The next way that we dwell in that secret place is through God's Word, the Bible. In the Bible is where we see the revelation of God's character and his nature. It is in the Word that we dwell in his presence. Another way that we dwell in the presence of God is through worship. And I would encourage you, through this season of the coronavirus, and while you're maybe working from home or you're waiting to get back into life as a normal routine, I want to challenge you that could this be a moment where God wants your attention? Could this be a season where God is calling out to you, inviting you once again to dwell with me again? Return back to your first love. Stop chasing everything in the world, being distracted by the temporal things of this life, and come dwell with me again. Be in my word again. Pray. And can I just be honest with you about something that has really changed my life? There have been moments in my life where I really didn't feel like praying. There have been moments in my life where I didn't feel like worshiping, if I'm just being honest. But what has absolutely transformed my heart in those moments is I've had honest conversations with God. God, I don't want to pray today. I don't want to worship today. I don't have a desire to be in your word today. God, I know I should want it, but I don't. Change me. Mold me, give me that desire. And I'm not kidding you, in my personal life, this has been a transformative prayer of honesty and vulnerability and transparency. And God has given me a fresh desire when I pray that to get right back into his word and to dwell with him again. Listen, life, you were created for the pleasure and the purpose of God. That's it. We were created to dwell with him. We dwell with him through prayer, through his word, and through worship. In this season of uncertainty, I want to challenge you to worship God from this place. Worship God from right where you are. Another way that we dwell with God is through the fellowship of the saints. Right now, we're not able to come together corporately, but we do have connect groups all throughout the city that are meeting. Don't forsake one another and fellowship with one another. And one of the last ways that we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty is by living with the awareness of God always, that God is constantly on our mind. He's on the forefront of our thoughts. These things, dwelling in God's presence, change us. You can't worship, you can't pray, you can't be in his presence and live in fear. You can't be in his presence, dwelling in the shadow of the Almighty, and live an angry, miserable, complaining life. There's something about prayer, there's something about his word, and there's something about worship that changes us. I want to remind you, church, in this season, let us run back to dwelling in that secret place. Jesus taught us that when we pray, we should remove ourselves from distractions and literally go into a secret place, a private place, and have our conversations with God. It's time that we stop giving God what's left over and we give God the priority of our days. Also, when we look at Psalm 91, there's something epic in the first two verses that I want to show you. Do you realize that in the first two verses of Psalm 91, we see four names of God listed in sequence in the first two verses? Watch it again. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress, and my God, in him will I trust. We see these four names of God: the Most High, the Almighty, the Lord, and my God. These are the four names that are given to God right here in the first two verses of Psalm 91. I want you to look at this. The name of God, Most High, it is the name El Elyon, which means you are God Most High. There is no one any greater. There is no one any stronger. And this name is also used in the book of Isaiah, chapter 14. It paints a picture. Before creation, Satan looks to the mountain of our God, and he says to himself, I want to be like the Most High God. And in Isaiah 14, the word of the Lord responds to him and saying, instead of being exalted above all of the earth and all of the heavens, you will instead be cast down into the depths of hell, into the abyss. Instead of exalting yourself, you'll be abased and humbled, forever cut off from God. The part that I want you to take away from this is I want you to watch this. In Satan's wildest imagination, he could not imagine anything greater than God. All he could aspire to be is like the Most High. Scripture in Isaiah literally says this. He says, I just want to be like the Most High. In other words, Satan didn't say, I want to be greater. He didn't say, I want to one up you. He didn't say, I want to be even above you. He just said, I want to be like you. In other words, this is a powerful insinuation that it is impossible to be any greater, any stronger, or more powerful than the Almighty, El Elyon, God Most High. That is who your God is. And today, that's why we don't lead with fear. That's why we don't let the chaos of our world disrupt our faith, because our trust is in the Most High God. The other name used is Almighty. It's pretty self-explanatory, but let me remind you that the God that you're praying to, the God that we're worshiping, the God that we're preaching about is Almighty. He's so powerful that he could split the spheres of time in half. He brought the Israelites out of Egypt, and when there was a Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh's army behind them, he is Almighty to make a way where there seemed to be no other way. He made a highway through the ocean. Your God is Almighty. If he can move mountains, he can move oceans for his people. What can he do for you? And if God be for you, who in the world could be against you? You serve an Almighty God. The Bible tells us that he is the Lord. This is the word that is used, is Jehovah. He is Jehovah God, meaning that he is a personal God. He is our Father, someone that we can converse and relate with. He is our master, our protector, the Lord. Y'all, he is not just your savior. Everybody in America today wants God to be their savior, but he is our Lord. He is our master. It's one thing to ask him to save us, and it's another thing for us to obey him and love him back. Jesus said, I'll know those who love me by those who obey and keep my commandments. The fourth name of God used in Psalm 91 is literally, he says, you are my God. The author uses the name Elohim right here, which represents God in the plural. It is representing the triune God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that all three are present at work in our life. Psalm 91 calls dwelling in the secret place a secret because the world at large doesn't know about him. The world at large does not know God. The world at large doesn't experience a relationship with the Father through prayer and through genuine worship and through genuine reading and studying his word. They don't do it. In fact, the Bible goes on to say in John chapter 14, verse 17, that the world at large does not receive the Holy Spirit because it's not looking for him. I want to remind you today, in this uncertainty, let's go looking for God again. Let's run to the Father. Let's listen, he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I love the wording here in Psalm 91 as well. It says, the shadow of the Almighty, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In order for us to abide in his shadow, that means that we must be in close proximity to him. And in order to be in his shadow, that means that he is covering over us. He is protecting us. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the shadow of the Most High. I want to be in close proximity through prayer. I want to be close to him through his word and through his worship. I want to be around other saints. I want to live with the awareness of God always. I want to be in your shadow. I want to be in close proximity. Father, cover us. Cover your people. And church, I just got to talk to you, because the truth is that so many of us, we only run to God in difficult times. We only run to God when we're in trouble. We run to God when the coronavirus shows up and there's no toilet paper left on the shelves at Walgreens. And so that's supposed to be funny, and you know it is. The truth is that many of us, though, in all seriousness, we run after God when our life is in crisis. And when everything else is going great, 75 and sunny, we ignore God and we just live our lives our own selfish way. I pray that in this season of disruption, I pray that we make up our mind as believers that we are not just going to seek God's hand. We're not just going to seek his blessing when we're in need, but we're going to be a people who dedicate and commit our lives, that we are going to dwell with you all the days of our life. We're not just going to run into the refuge when there's danger. We're going to serve you in the good days. We're going to love you in the peaceful days. We are going to love you all the days of our life. Let us make up our mind that we're not just going to run when we're in trouble, but we're going to dwell with him all the days of our life. I want to ask you this morning, are you dwelling in fear or are you dwelling in his presence? And I got to say this to you. I really believe that if you're dwelling with God through prayer, through his word, through worship, it expels fear. It drives out anxiety. It doesn't mean that your life is going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that things are going to go according to plan, but it means that you have a holy confidence to face the battles in front of you because you've been in his shadow. You've been in his presence, and you know that the Most High covers you. Man, the word is just life-changing. It's giving me faith up in here right now, getting hyped by myself. The second thing I want to show you is that God will protect and cover you. This is what it says in Psalm 91. Now, before you get all upset and jump into conclusions and saying, what about people who get sick? I just want you to listen to the word today, and I'm going to get there. Psalm 91 declares that God will protect us and he will cover us. In the third verse, it shows us that surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. So there's two things that Psalm 91:3 express that we will be protected from. Number one is the snare of the fowler, and the other one is pestilence. Both of these things operate in obscurity. The snare of the fowler is a hidden trap lurking dangerously in plain sight. The trap of the fowler is something that operates in darkness or obscurity. You don't even know that it's there. I truly believe that there's so much power in this text that God is saying to you, I have protected you from things you didn't even know were a threat. Days that you didn't even know you were in danger. You have no idea what I've gone through to protect you and give you an ordinary day that we took for granted. I believe that you need to hear this word today. You have no idea the great lengths God has gone through to give you just an ordinary Wednesday, an ordinary Monday, the Mondays that we all complain about. This text is saying that God has gone before you. Those of you who dwell in that secret place, those of you who abide in close proximity to the Father, those of you who are saved, you are my children. I have gone before you. I've protected you from the temptations, the snares, the plans that the evil one had for your life. You don't know what uneventful day you had that God, well, all that he did just to give you one uneventful day. I'm telling you, God is working even when you don't see it, and even when you don't feel it. God is at work. You have no idea what he's doing in your life. The next thing is that it says that he will protect you and cover you from pestilence. And that King James word literally means illness and disease. It actually means epidemic and pandemic all in of itself. Pestilence, disease, they work in darkness because you can't trace where it is. You can't see it. It's untraceable in many ways. But the Lord says, I'm going to protect you from the hidden traps of the enemy, and I'm going to protect you from things that you can't even see. Don't worry about tomorrow. Rejoice today and know that I am your refuge and I am your strength. Put your trust in the Lord of hosts. Now hear me right now. Hear me. This does not mean, this text right here does not mean that you will never get sick. This text right here does not mean that you won't get the coronavirus. That's not what it means. What it's talking about, and I just got to say this too, this text has been so twisted so many times that people have said, well, if you're really his and you're really dwelling with him, you're never going to get sick, you're always going to be healthy, and your life is always going to be perfect and 75 and sunny. And if you do get sick or you do have something go wrong, then it's your lack of faith, it's your fault. I just got to tell you, that is not what this text is proclaiming at all. The promise in Psalm 91 is not that you will never get sick. The promise in Psalm 91 is not that you will never go through difficulty. The promise actually is far greater than that. The promise of Psalm 91 is that even if you go through death, God will protect you. Even if you die, God will protect your soul, and no weapon formed against you will prosper. This is a text that is talking about your soul, your spiritual condition. It's talking about your salvation. God is so much more concerned about our souls than he is our body. Even if God heals you and heals your body from the illness, how many of you know if Christ tarries, if he waits on his return, you're still going to die anyway. The body is still going back to the dust from which it came. Oh, but when Christ saves you, by faith, when you are covered in the mercy of God, your sins are washed away. You are purified. You are robed in righteousness. And that is a miracle that is eternal. God is so much more concerned about your eternal well-being than your physical. What we endure right now, the Bible says we will have trouble in this world. But you need not fear man or disease or anything that can kill the body. We should instead fear the Lord who holds our soul. Psalm 91 is a promise that God will always protect you. He will always provide for you. And no weapon formed against you will ultimately prosper. If your life is taken on this earth, That's the farthest that man can do to you. That's the worst that this illness can do to you. Those of you who have been saved and born again by the blood of Jesus, death is the worst thing that will ever happen to you. And all it will do is serve as the catalyst that transitions you safely into the loving arms of your Father for all of eternity, where there will be no more weeping, there will be no more tears, and you will stand in the joyous and wonderful presence of the Almighty God. This text is not saying that you'll never get sick. It's saying that I will protect your soul. I will keep you from the evil one. I will hold you. Anybody thankful for a God like that who never gives up on us? Thank you, Lord. Listen, the disciples who walked with Jesus and saw every aspect of his life, the disciples who spent 3 years under his ministry, do you realize that they suffered greatly on earth? In fact, they were martyred for his cause. If we were to read Psalm 91 in the light of just protecting them physically, we would say, well, God, where were you? God, why didn't you protect them? But it was through their suffering that Christ was glorified in an unprecedented way. It was through their suffering that their faith rippled throughout the corners of the world. Because what they were willing to die for spoke so many more volumes versus what they're willing to live for. It's one thing to talk about God, and it's another thing to be willing to suffer for him or to lay down your life for him. Oh, but this promise of Psalm 91 was kept sure. Surely over every one of those disciples, all of them but Judas, it kept them. They were protected. Once the life slipped from their body, they were safely taken into the presence of the Almighty God, because he is their children, and they dwelt with him, and they loved him, and they were covered in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, what Psalm 91 is really communicating to us is that there is no reason to fear anything on this earth. Because so long as you have been forgiven of your sins and a relationship with the Father, we know how this story ends. We know that you are safe, you are loved, and his salvation is secure and sure. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Lord. I love it. Another principle here is that we should not fall in love with the things of this world. Don't fall in love with the world, because everything in it is passing away. Everything in it is fleeting. As you've seen this week, your entire life can be turned upside down in just a moment of hours. This earth is not our own. We're just passing through. The Bible tells us to love not the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. That's all that is in this world. The word tells us don't fall in love with the buildings. Don't fall in love with the stock market and your finances and your possessions. Don't fall in love with your programs. Fall in love with God Almighty, and fall in love with the people who were created in his image. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Everything else on this earth is fleeting. Everything else in this world is failing. Now, I do want to say this. I'm not saying that God can't protect you physically, because he absolutely can. God can protect you. He is almighty. He is most high. He is all powerful. There's no doubt about it. But don't be fooled by any other preaching. God's top priority is our soul, not our body. Now, as I close this message, I want to show you another incredible, powerful truth from Psalm 91. And that is that Psalm 91, yes, it speaks to us and our human condition about God's eternal salvation and his promise to protect us through everything, all the trials and the storms spiritually and physically of this world. But the greater truth and revelation of Psalm 91 is this, that Psalm 91 is ultimately all about Jesus. It's all about him. The entire Old Testament points forward to the cross. This is a messianic text. In other words, it points forward to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus taught his disciples, he said, all of Moses and the prophets, all of the Old Testament, it speaks of me. It reveals me. I am the revelation of everything the Old Testament had concealed. Now, I want you to think of Psalm 91 in the context of our Savior. And listen, this is life-changing. This is awesome. The first thing is that Jesus certainly was the one who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High. He was always going alone, fleeing from the crowds, and even leaving his disciples for periods of time to get alone in the secret place with the Father. You might remember that there were many occasions that Jesus would just go off and be with the Father. The Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stays up virtually all night praying in relationship, communion with the Father. He was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High in Gethsemane. Another revelation is that Jesus trusted the Father in life and in death. Listen to this again in verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, and in him will I trust. This is the personification of the life that Jesus lived. Moments before the cross, Jesus was sweating drops of blood over the anxiety and over the pressure of carrying the world's sin and the cross that would soon be before him. And Jesus said, Father, if the cup could pass, let it pass. If there's another way, let there be. And then he ultimately says, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus did this as an example for us, that we would see that we are to live with the will of the Father in our hearts, not our own. Jesus trusted the Father in life and in death, following him all the way to Calvary's cross. Verse 5 says this, and thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Jesus was delivered from every trap that the enemy had laid before him. That snare of the fowler, that noisome pestilence, the disease, all of the traps, all of the evil plans that the enemy had for him, Jesus was delivered from them all. This is a messianic text pointing to Jesus. And I'm going to show you something that's amazing. The enemy was placing traps all throughout Christ's life to keep him from fulfilling his mission on the cross. The snare of the fowler, the noisome pestilence, these things were laid out spiritually by the enemy to stop Christ from achieving the mission and the purpose of the Father on the cross. I want to give you a couple examples. If you remember in Matthew chapter 4, in the wilderness, Jesus is again alone with the Father in the secret place, praying and seeking God for 40 days and 40 nights. And the enemy comes to him and says, if you will just bow to me, you can have all of the nations of the world if you'll only bow. If you'll worship me, Jesus, you can have all of the nations as your inheritance. In other words, Satan was offering Jesus a way out of the cross. Satan was offering Jesus a way out of the suffering. He was saying, you can take this way in the whole earth and everything in it will be yours. It was the trap, the snare of the fowler. But the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God the Father protected Christ Jesus the Son from every attempt of the enemy to keep him from that cross. You might even remember that Peter, one of Christ's own disciples, after hearing Jesus say, soon I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. I'm going to be betrayed by the leading priests and Pharisees, handed over to the soldiers to be crucified and die. But on the third day, I'll be resurrected from the dead. Peter, Christ's own disciple, literally rebukes Jesus and says, "No, Lord, I rebuke it. It won't happen to you." And Jesus rebukes him and he says, "Satan, get behind me." It was kind of a harsh thing for him to say to Peter, but the truth is that the enemy through Peter was saying, "Jesus, don't go through with it. You don't have to actually go to the cross. Don't do it." The enemy was trying all of his ways to keep Jesus from the cross. One last example of this, which I believe is so profound, is, do you remember as Jesus stood on trial at the house of Pilate, Barabbas on one side and Jesus, who is innocent, on another? As Pilate is about to hand down the verdict, Pilate gets a message from his wife that she had had a dream. "Don't harm this innocent man. Don't harm him. He's done nothing wrong." Now, at first, when we hear about Pilate's wife and her dream, we think that she's doing something moral. We think that she's doing something awesome. We're like, yes, he's innocent. He hasn't done anything wrong. But there was a sinister undertone to her dream. It was to keep Jesus from the cross. It was the trap of the fowler. It was the pestilence in the darkness. It was the attempt of the enemy to stop Jesus from fulfilling his mission in saving the entire world through his precious shed blood. Psalm 91 is saying, "I have protected you. I have kept you through it all so that you can fulfill the purpose that I've ordained for your life. No weapon that is formed against you, no deceit, no lie from hell will keep you from accomplishing the purpose that I have for you." No evil was able to entrap him, and he overcame them all. The Bible says in verse 11 of Psalm 91 that "I will give the angels charge over thee." This is confirmed many times in Scripture. Even Satan himself acknowledged that the angels were at his command. Now this one gets me real hyped, and I promise I'm winding this sermon down. In verse 13, the Bible says this, "And thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under thy feet." Jesus crushed the head of the adder. He crushed the head of the serpent. When Jesus went to the cross and the nails were driven through his hands and feet, as he gave up his life as a ransom for many, in that moment, evil was conquered and overcome. Sin and the grave was swallowed up in victory. And on the cross, Jesus took his place and crushed the head of the serpent for our salvation, for our forgiveness. There is no other way than through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Your good works cannot save you. Your generosity, your good deeds, they'll never be enough. If there were any other way for you to be saved, then Jesus went to the cross in vain. The reason that he paid such a high and ultimate price is because there could be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, and the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin that you and I might be called the righteousness of God in him forever. And through his sacrifice, he crushed the head of the serpent and he silenced the roaring devourer of the enemy, Satan. And he subdued the dragon. All of it is right there in Psalm 91. He did it for us. Oh, and it's still amazing. And in verse 14, he, Jesus Christ, has been set on high and honored above all men. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved than the name of Jesus. He is set on high and honored above all. And finally, verse 16, Jesus is our salvation. It's in him. Jesus is our salvation. I hope that you see Psalm 91 in a new light today. I hope that it has encouraged you. I hope that it's strengthened you in your faith. I want you to know that God is so great, and he is with you right now. This is not a promise that you will never get sick. This is not a promise that you won't endure hardship, but it is a promise that God will be with you always. And that those of you who have repented of your sin and confessed Christ as Lord, you will never need to worry about eternity. You never have to worry about hell and separation from God eternally. You can rest assured that you are in the shadow of the Almighty, and there is nothing by day or by night that will capture your soul. You are saved and secured by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're watching today, and you don't know if you are truly a child of God. You don't know if you've truly repented of your sin and given your life to Jesus. If you were to die right now, your life were to end right now, you don't know where you would spend eternity, or even there's a question. I want to invite you to pray with me in just a moment. There will not be one person who will ever inherit heaven on accident. There's not anybody who's going to end up in heaven and be shocked or surprised that they got there. Everyone will be there by faith in Jesus Christ. They'll be there because they made a decision in a moment of uncertainty like this right now, maybe watching on a live stream television or device, to pray the prayer, Father, forgive me, have mercy on me, and I confess you as my Lord. I'm going to give you a moment, and we're going to pray. And if that's you and you pray that prayer today and you give your life to Jesus, I want you at the end of the prayer to leave a comment to let us know that I gave my life to Jesus today. I repented of my sin today, because this is a public faith. It can't be done in secret or in quiet. Jesus, every person that he called to follow him in his ministry, he called them to do so publicly. So I want to give you that opportunity at the end of this prayer to publicly say, I've asked for forgiveness. And I've invited Jesus to be my Savior. I want you to pray with me. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we confess that we're sinners who have fallen short of your glory. We are creation, but not your children, because we've been selfish and we've lived life for the material world around us. God, forgive us, for we know not what we do. Forgive us for living for this moment instead of for eternity. But right now, I confess that I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that when he died on the cross, it was in my place. And his blood that was shed was for my salvation. Your word says that if I would confess my sin, and I would confess you as my Lord and Savior, that you are faithful and just to forgive me and to wash my sins away. Today, Lord, forgive me. Wash me. Forgive me, cleanse me. I confess you, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I pray that you made that decision today. And again, if you did it, I would encourage you, leave a comment below so we can celebrate that decision with you. Hey, we love you so much. We're honored that you took time out of your Sunday to watch this live stream, this broadcast with us today. We love you. Be blessed. At this time, I'm going to dismiss, and I'm going to let you know that we will be keeping you posted on a week-to-week basis as to what is going on in terms of our public physical meeting. But we love you so much. Stay tuned to this social media account and to our Instagram for updates. We love you. Be blessed, and we'll see you soon.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, click that subscribe button, share this podcast on social, or even take a screenshot from your story and tag us. We'd love to hear how the Lord is using this podcast to bless your life. You can send an email to info@visionchurch.com, or you can DM us on social with a story of how God is moving in your world. Also, we'd like to thank those who invest in our ministry financially. It's because of your sacrifice that we are able to publish this every week. If you would like to join in giving to our ministry, you can click the link in the description or visit visionchurch.com and click the Give tab. Thanks again for listening. God bless.